Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit Zurich.ie to find out more.
The child and family agency Tusla continues to face significant difficulties in attracting and retaining staff as it continues a root and branch reform of its structures, practice and culture. Pat Rabbit has been reappointed as the agency's chair. He joins us now on the line, and you're welcome, Pat, to the programme this evening. One of the big difficulties facing Tusla is a shortage in staff, hundreds and hundreds of vacancies. Why do you think the agency has such problems in attracting and in retaining staff?
Well, I don't think the problem in retaining is unusual. I mean, there is churn in every large organization, but there's no doubt about it that if you focus on the social worker dimension, it is a very difficult job. And there is a retention problem. There also is a... Training of social workers is restricted to the traditional universities, and it seems to me that there is a necessity to broaden out, for example, the technological universities, because we recruit over 80% of all graduates in social work. And nonetheless, as the time passes, young people in the job find that they have use for their skills in other areas of social work that they might prefer or that they think is less onerous than Tusla. But for example, we had 145 rehires last year. That's people who returned to the agency of choice because they wanted to. So, you know, yes, we could certainly do with more social workers, but it's a problem. It's a limited output every year.
Yeah, well, you certainly could do more social workers. There's 850 vacant posts. I can only imagine that causes an awful lot of problems in the day-to-day workings and puts an awful lot of extra burden on the staff that are there.
Well, no, that's not quite right. Now we have 1,648 social workers, which compares to the previous year of 1,771. But that is a deficiency.
Yeah, 850 posts vacant is correct, yeah.
But we have an additional 95 social care workers. And insofar as is feasible, they are filling in. So, yeah, we were 120 short, but we had an additional 95 social care workers. And as I say, we recruited 140 of the 160 graduates available. So, you know, that's a very high rate of recruitment, and short of more social workers being turned out, there is a problem there.
So that's the problem you're saying, that we're not training enough?
We're not training enough, no.
Okay. So in terms of the ones...
HSE, hospitals, the community and all the rest.
Okay. In terms of the ones that are, say, trained and are working in Tusla at the moment, there's a recent survey of staff which found that nearly half of the staff that are there did not feel valued, and a significant number said that they were overburdened by their workload.
Well, I'd say a couple of things about that, Sarah. You know, Tusla took the initiative as part of our reform program, and we're midway through a fundamental reform program. We sought independent expert advice to assess responses from staff and to compare them to industry norms. Now, if you compare them to industry norms, you find that it's broadly in line.
If you went to most organisations, you're saying half of staff wouldn't feel valued.
Well, I mean, try it in RTE and see what kind of an answer you get.
Well, certainly RTE is a specific example, obviously.
Obviously, there are some people, you know, who want to express views. But what I am saying is we got a very high rate of return for a public service organisation. And it showed that we are broadly in line with industry norms. Now, we will continue to do this into the future in terms of assessing staff feedback, because that's very important to us. And I can understand why some people would feel that they have a huge burden on their shoulders, because this is a very sensitive area of work. You're managing risk all the time. And if, for example, in a predominantly female workforce, you have people on maternity leave at any given time, you have young people who want to do 2 years in Australia and come back, or whatever it is, the resulting gap imposes additional work on the people who are there.
Well, and it does, but I mean, most people who go into social work, you know, it is a vocation, isn't it? People who go into social work, it's a vocation. It's like nursing. You know, you don't do it for the money. You do it because it's a job that you want to do. And I can't believe that people go in with their eyes closed in terms of how difficult a job it is to do. So I wonder, is it because of the maternity leaves, or is it because of the 850 vacant posts? And is it because, for example,
there
in that survey...
850. Like a lot of things that come into the public domain, Sarah, there are not 850 vacant posts.
Okay, I'll just give you the numbers I have in front of me, and you can tell me.
But the
Examiner
are wrong.
The Examiner reported on the 11th of September 2023 that there were 340 social work roles vacant, 244 social care positions vacant, and 162 administration jobs.
Yeah, we have a full complement at the moment in terms of our staffing, which is 5,173 people. In social care, there are 1,310, which is an increase of 95 on 2022. In social workers, there are 1,648, which is a reduction of 120. And that's the scale of the, you know, I mean...
Okay, sorry. I'm really sorry, because there's so many numbers there now. Can you just clarify for me, how many vacancies are there currently?
You can take a...
How many social worker vacancies are there?
Well, we would like to have kept the complement at 1,771. As I said to you, we have recruited 140 of 160 available graduates. So, you know... happily, those figures build in 145 people who have been rehired, who had left.
I'm really sorry, Pat. I'm going to interrupt you again, because I know you're trying to clarify the numbers, but it's going to be a bit confusing for me. So I imagine it's a bit confusing for listeners as well. How many social work vacancies are there currently unfilled?
We're very close to the full complement allowed.
Okay, we'll move on.
There is a problem, you know. You can take any survey, Sarah, and you can represent it negatively. And no doubt the Irish Times did that very well in respect of this survey.
I don't know, is that fair now? I don't think they were representing anything negatively. They were representing the facts or what the survey found. And that was...
The report, there's acres of the report that wasn't referred to at all. They're all different headings where the consultants measured the response under that particular heading. And what I'm saying to you is that it is broadly in line with industry norms.
I understand it, that you're saying that, but what the Irish Times did was report what was found in the survey. And for example, some of those findings were that 29% of staff said they wouldn't recommend a career in Tusla to a friend or family member. 15% believe Tusla senior management didn't respond, or only 15% believe Tusla senior management responded to staff feedback. And nearly half of the agency's employees felt communication between Tusla senior management and staff was poor. I mean, that's just the findings. You know, that's not a representation in one way or another.
And I'm saying to you, you could pick any large organisation of 5,000 people and go through it, and you would get very similar. The consultant said it's broadly in line with industry norms.
Okay. I want to ask you about Tusla placing unaccompanied refugee children in unregulated private emergency accommodation. And there's been an awful lot of talk about that. Why is that being done?
Well, I suppose the first point I should make is that it's not true, as again appeared in the media recently, because of a statement by a TD. There is no child, unaccompanied minor, living in a tent in Ireland. That's the first point. The second point is we have dealt with more than 600 unaccompanied minors since the Ukrainian crisis. And because of the situation in respect of accommodation, some of them must be accommodated in residential settings that wouldn't normally reach HICWA standards. And that's purely out of necessity. You know what the accommodation crisis is like. And to apply the same standards, I mean, I should say...
And is HICWA allowed to investigate the standards in those unregulated private emergencies?
Of course, yeah.
They are.
Of course. I mean, we also have people invigilating them to ensure that they're... It's important, I think, to make the point that a lot of the unaccompanied minors, for example, if you mention Ukraine, these are, perfectly normal young people who want to get on with their schooling and get a job if they can. They're perfectly able to handle their environment, and staff from TUSLA ensure that it's invigilated. But it doesn't meet the standard set generally for such centres by HICWA, and that's simply out of necessity in terms of the crisis we have in terms of accommodation.
And when will that be resolved?
Well, when will the housing situation be resolved? It's not possible to go down to the supermarket and buy a housing development. The centres, the space aren't there. It's impossible to answer the question because I don't know how long the Ukrainian input will continue. We now have circumstances where we're gradually getting more people from Somalia, Afghanistan and third countries than we are from Ukraine. So it's not possible to look into a crystal ball and say for how long it will last. We are striving all the time to bring improvement and to source accommodation. But as you know well, it's not easy.
OK, I just want to ask you finally about significant criticisms of TUSLA in the delay in processing Garda vetting notifications, potentially placing children in very risky situations.
Well, that was a very particular case. And I think myself, it's fair comment. There was delay. But there was delay because of the policy and protocols applying at the time. They have been revised since June of 2022, and a new arrangement now that permits TUSLA to make these referrals straight away, and that is being done.
Well, actually, Pat, before I let you go, I just want to ask you very briefly about a potential merger between the Labour Party and the Social Democrats.
And TUSLA, is it?
And Holly, sorry, I'm just interested. If you're interested in commenting on it, what do you think? Because Holly Kearns has ruled it out, but some suggestions it might be very good for both parties.
The social democratic space in Irish politics is already very small. Ultimately, of course, there will be a coming together. But the question is when personalities and so on are the impediment rather than policy. There is no policy difference. And the insinuation that some of the Social Democrat personalities would do better in government after the financial crash is something that hasn't been tested.
So should it happen before the election?
Oh, it won't happen before the election. That's my observation. I don't know. I'm not involved. But I don't think there's any question of it happening before the election. But it will happen down the road. It's also not the first time that the Labour Party had a breakaway group. That happened way back in the 40s.
Okay.
And they served in government together and came back together after that.
We'll leave it there. Pat Rabbit, thank you very much for joining us this evening.